Today, we're going to talk about something that honestly, I don't think I ever thought we would talk about, and that is fidget spinners.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think it's safe to talk about now that the fad has sort of died down a bit. You know, as I'm already lost mine. I was doing some research. It was purely for science that I got one. But I was interested in this because when they first came out earlier, you know, in the summer, right towards the end of the school year, it was all about the fact that they were going to improve your attention, cure your anxiety, relieve stress, and they were marketed like that, right? You know, here in town, one of the drugstores had a little sort of setup, and on it was, you know, cure your anxiety, right on the thing. And, you know, I'm not a toy reviewer, so I can't talk about, you know, the joy of playing with one. And quite frankly, I wasn't very good at it. My colleagues and others really showed me up in terms of tricks and how to use them. But I do want to talk about that claim that these somehow could improve our mental health. Mainly because there's absolutely zero evidence that they do so.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Not really.
No, and in fact, I used some in work for a week. I was using it to improve my attention in meetings with students, and universally, they hated it because it turns out, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to them. I was using my fidget spinner instead. So if anything, it actually made me less productive. Probably shouldn't say that on the air. But, you know, I think that does raise the question of what counts as a treatment and how we, you know, who are going about our lives and hearing things that could help, how can we determine what could really be helpful and what are just companies out to make money or what are these claims that, you know, sound like what's the harm, but there could be some harm in following them.
Do you remember the last product pre the fidget spinner that tried to make a claim of wellness that turned out to be untrue?
Well, you know, I think there's lots of them. And we have to be, you know, it's tricky because oftentimes folks will say, well, you know, there's no studies that prove it helps, but there's none that suggest it hurts, so it's still okay, right? But I think in general that the danger here is that if we seek these sorts of things out instead of established techniques or medicines or other sorts of approaches, there's an opportunity cost, right? If you have a child who might be struggling with inattention and getting into trouble at school, buying a fidget spinner instead of going to the doctor really can do some harm, right? Because it takes you away from those treatments that can help. And, you know, and there are extreme examples as well. You know, in the field of autism, we see some examples of really scary stuff going on. There was just a year or so ago out in California, there was a church or organization that was selling what basically was bleach to somehow cure autism. Right.
I would love to know what that marketing plan entailed.
Yeah, well, thankfully it wasn't particularly popular, but there were still, unfortunately, some children who were harmed or could be harmed because of that. And so I think we have to be critical about what we consider to be a treatment and what sorts of things we consider to be fun, right? Because fidget spinners, yeah, they're fun, right? Or at least they were until we probably all lost ours. but, you know, we want to make that distinction between what's a treatment that really has evidence and science supporting it and what doesn't. And I think, though, the you know, weather's become a little more muddy now in terms of figuring out what is what, right? And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen some examples of sort of techniques that come out or products that sound like they could be helpful but really do end up possibly harming people, you know. And sometimes these include things to help, right? So, you know, there are TV shows like this. I'm sure you've heard of Scared Straight, right?
Oh, yeah.
The programs,
yeah.
Where you take kids who are kind of getting into trouble and you bring them into jail for a day. You know, and that's going to, you know, you have the folks who are in the jail, talk to them, get them, you know, scare them about the future if they keep offending, and they're going to go out and they're all going to do better, right?
That was a huge trend. I think in the 90s is really when I saw that begin, and I guess it's continued forward since then.
Sure, right. It started, you know, as a program. It became a TLC show or something like that, right? And you know, and with that were the boot camps, right? Mm-hmm. If your kid has conduct problem, well, you need the military-style discipline in boot camps. The problem is, when you actually evaluate those programs and see what the outcomes are, it's not that great. There's actually some mixed findings. They occasionally can help, but then sometimes we found they actually do the opposite, right? Kids who go spend the weekend in jail are more likely to reoffend, more likely to further get involved in criminal behavior, right? And then there's some theories about why that might be, you know, surrounding themselves with, you know, kind of you are who you hang out with, right? So if you surround yourself with folks who are more down that line, you might, in fact, you know, end up in that down that road.
So by placing these kids together, they've actually introduced them to a whole pool of maybe like-minded individuals that they could then be close to after the fact? Is that basically the gist of it?
I think that is one theory, right? And there's some evidence supporting that. And not to mention, though, sometimes it can just be harmful in these boot camps, especially down in the South, because let's face it, that's where most of the boot camps were and still are. Some kids unfortunately died because they had folks without the training having to march around in the heat without a sense of how this is going to help. And it turns out that, marching almost to your death, in the heat doesn't actually help you learn the skills to be successful, to integrate into school, to make friends, to get skills to get a job. So, I think it comes back to this point. Fidget spinners aren't, they're not in themselves harmful. But it is harmful when we start accepting things at face value that they can help without really, asking where's the data, where's the evidence that can help us. And, I think, we can, look for fun, look for toys that we enjoy. But when it comes to treating mental health problems, we want to make sure that we have the best science supporting what we do. Because after all, I think we deserve the best with our own healthcare.